is our goal? Why is it our goal? Yeah, but why?
Bring him honor and glory.
We're going to see that, yeah. But it is our goal because that's what God wants for us. See? That's what He wants for us. And so we need to try to get those things really in mind. And then Sheldon referred to Isaiah 43:7. We see that over on the next page page 33. And it has a passage here, Isaiah 43:1-7. But in verse 7, down there about the middle of the page, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, have I created him for my glory." See? That's why you and I were made. It's for the glory of God. And you know, we're never going to find fulfillment. We're never going to find peace. We're never going to find real rest in this life until we realize that I am made for the glory of God. That's what God wants for my life. And I just think we need to really get that. That's something that's really basic for us. And until we get a hold of that, we're not going to be able to be good leaders, good biblical leaders. Because that is so basic and so necessary for us. The last paragraph in that top part there, do you realize that if you really seek to glorify God with your life, you can influence others by what you do, and you can leave this earth one day in the future knowing that there are people that you have influenced for God? You know, that has to be one of the most fulfilling things that we can do. We come to the end of life and we can say, you know, I thank the Lord that I was able to influence some others to serve the Lord and to follow Him. I think that's going to make a lot more difference and a lot more satisfaction in life than how much we leave or how much we've done or what all kinds of things. And that we can say, I've with the Lord's help, been able to influence some others. And that's something that's going to stand. Any comments there? Living it out.
Love, faith, relationship.
Yeah, living it out. Yeah.
We don't always do good at focusing on that as modern day Anabaptists. Mm-hmm. That was the original Anabaptist vision.
And you know what they did with them?
They killed them.
They killed them, yeah.
And also the next line there, or line and a half later, wisdom is seeing the situations of life from God's viewpoint.
And as we become more like Christ and know Him, you know, if you let's say you work for someone and you wanted to make decisions, good decisions to please that person that you work for, it would be important that you get to know that person, wouldn't you? The more you know that person, The more you know when you get in the situation, you would know how that person would see that situation. Fathers and sons can do that, you know. A son could, well, I know what dad would do, you know. And so that's the way with Christ. See? The more we know him, he might not tell us every little detail of what we should do, but when we know him, then we're going to know what would he do. We're going to know more what he would expect. And so it's important to know him. Anything else?
I think this is such a contrast, a different goal. And the different goal is that we are here to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
And the world and our flesh, that's not our flesh. Yeah. Our flesh's goal is to...
And that's what we get into the next section right there. The world's view of success. And just look at those. I'm not going to deal with the fourth one. I want to look at a little bit more, but the world's view of success. Popularity. And by the way, these all start with P. Popularity. That's very important to the world. Power. People like power. And I had to think about that. We could all say, well, no, not me. But let things get out of our control a little bit, where we have no control, maybe over the weather, and we don't have any control over something, and see how it bothers us. And I'm the first one. I mean, I don't have to point fingers at anybody. But we like to be in control. Pleasure is the next one. Just the idea of let's just have fun. You know, we don't want to do anything unless we're just having fun. That's very popular. And then the fourth one here is possessions. How the world looks at possessions. And we're in a very materialistic society. There's no doubt about that. He goes now, this is where he jumps back in and talks about his experience with the JCPenney company. And I thought this was worthwhile because his experience here is saying a lot. He says how that as he was with the JCPenney company, he was talking one day to his superior. And down at the bottom of page 34, he says, I really wanted to move up in the JCPenney company as he was doing. He said, I admired this man for how he was moving up. And so I approached him and I said, can I ask you some questions? He said, tell me how I can be successful. The first thing he did was pull out a checkbook and showed me his balance. And then he began to share with me his philosophy. He said, oh, that's easy. You just give your life over to the JCPenney company. And I'm told that in some companies that you work for, that's what has to happen, pretty much. But he said, I began taking mental notes. I had the thrilling sense of getting the inside scoop. He said, never take a day off. I know it. Okay, never take a day off. He said, if you take a day off, somebody might look better than you look that day, and so you'd better never be gone from the store. What a life. How would you like that? Always make sure you are here, and you'll always look the best. I was impressed. He continued telling me all about the money he had made. He said he had recently purchased a brand new boat. Well, he did mention that he hadn't had time to put it in the water yet. But he had this new boat. I thought, wow, that's what I want. Rich and lots of toys. And I was ready to sell out to this philosophy. However, it did not happen that way. A few months later, I came home from work one night and there was a letter for me from someone named Sam, Uncle Sam. This was back during the draft days. He said he wanted me for the next 2 years. And so I saw my career come to a halt while I spent 2 years in the United States Army. And one of those years was in Vietnam. For the entire 2 years, I wanted to get back to the J.C. Penney Company and work my way up to the top with the philosophy that I had learned from that manager. I found some interesting and disturbing developments when I got back home. In those 2 years, he had moved up a little bit on the corporate ladder. However, during the time that I had been gone, his wife had divorced him. He lived by himself, and he seemed very lonely. Even then, before I became a Christian, I began to see that maybe there were some flaws in this philosophy and that I had been adopting. Maybe there was another perspective about what really is important in life, and my 2 years in the Army saved my life not from death, but from the death in life of following empty goals that lead only to bitter disappointment. So I thought that was interesting, his experience there, and how that his focus in life was changed. And again, he refers into Isaiah 43, verse 7, saying that our goal is to realize that we are made for God's glory. Now, you know, it's kind of easy to say that, but how do we put that right into actual living? You know, and how do we display that as leaders and so on? Any comments there on that part? And it's going to be returns that are much, much greater than what the other is, yeah.
We still come back kind of the same thing. What convinced him, if this conversation had happened 2 years later, the man wouldn't have been able to convince him that selling out J.C. Penney was worth it, because he was seeing the fruits of that. But at the time, he was being the richest, he was being the man. So when we're trying to convince someone, or someone is looking at us, do I want to sell out to Christianity? They're going to look at our lives and say, what's producing this life? Is it something I want? Or something I'm glad I don't have?
Yeah. If we try to convince them and we're down in the mouth and we're discouraged and so on, and say, I ought to be a Christian, you know. You don't convince any. It's kind of like a salesman I heard one time that they asked about the product that she was selling. And he said, is it good? Well, I haven't really tried it myself, but I hear it's good. And, you know, you're not going to really sell much that way, are you? All right. The next part then says, what faces believers today? And I don't know. I had a little problem with that title. I was trying to make the connect here. But this next section, what he's really saying here is, we're getting into the area here now of comparing our living for the world, or are we living for Christ? You know, it's going back to Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your spirit, and so on. He uses John 17 here. Now we're on page 36. He's using John 17, and this is called the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. And we don't have the time to go into a lot of detail. I just want to touch on these on these four that he's bringing out of this. And this is the person that is really following Christ. And Jesus is praying for us. He has redeemed out of the world. He has been redeemed out of the world. This is the believer. We have been redeemed out of the world. Number two, we are going to live differently from the world. Number three is, we are no longer in harmony with the world. I remember that phrase from last, was that last Sunday? Maybe it was the first time. You know, we don't have to try to be different. If we follow Christ, we are going to be different. See? And so we are no longer in harmony with the world. There's always going to be a tension with the world. And the more we live with Christ, for Christ, the more that tension is going to be. And then we are sent into the world. We live in this world, but we are sent into the world to be witnesses, to be light. And so that is really important. Now, the next part is the world also is trying to take and press us into its mold, is really what Romans 12 is saying. And it's very aggressive at that. And if we're honest, we'll all recognize these things, how the world tries to take us and make us into its mold. We live in a world, now we're on page 37, number one there. We live in a world of opposing values. And if we're out doing much of it, it doesn't take us long to realize that what the world, their values, and my values as a believer are very different. We live in a world of aggressive strategies. And that is, our society attempts to tell us what our goals should be. And it is, oh, by the way, up in number one, I thought that was a good sentence there at the last part of that. The world's philosophy tells us how to be successful, what to wear, where to go, and what to be. And I've been amazed already at what people do to please somebody. And I had to think, if the church would say that, they would have a fit. But if the world says it, that this is what you need to do to be popular, if the church come along and said, I want everybody to wear pants that have holes in them and the knees showing, and so on, the church made a rule that that's what you have to do. Can you imagine the outcry there would be? That's just a simple one. But I'm just saying and I'm not saying it's wrong to wear pants out, but I'm just saying, if the world tells us to do something, we're, you know, fine. But it can be very different if it's the church. We live in aggressive strategies. Our society attempts to tell us that our goals should be and accepted by others. It is not a subtle approach. It is a blatant attempt to tell us how to succeed in life. And then number three, we must either adopt or reject the world's values. We have a choice. We either do one or the other. If we try to serve both, we're going to be torn apart. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other. And then number four is, in order to reject this world's philosophy, we must be equally aggressive with God's plan. We're going to have to be intentional of really serving the Lord. And then I want to close with just that next sentence. This is our goal in this book, to help you become confident in living out God's plan for your life. So that, again, this is our goal. To help us become confident in living out God's plan for our lives. So we have a different goal. What is it?
Be like Christ.
Be like Christ. Glorify God. Amen. Yeah. That's our goal. So, okay. Thank you.